Our first scripture reading this morning is from Acts, verse 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So we ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days.
Thank you, Logan. And thank you, Carolyn. Our second scripture this morning comes from the first letter of John. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 227 in the New Testament. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our last scripture is coming from our gospel reading is coming from the book of John, the gospel according to John. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 103 of the New Testament. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I have said these things to you so that that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appoint you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask of Him in my name. I am giving you these commands, so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have to remember this week to send a thank you to Pastor Morris for giving me a chance to speak this week. The sermon, I mean, how can you go wrong talking about love? It's one of the easiest things to talk about. I could get up here for an hour or two and just read scripture chapter and verse about love. Heck, I could get up here and spend an hour talking about all the love songs written by the Beatles. Talking about love is easy. It's the action, the actual loving, that's the hard work. Let's face it, we're human beings. We're fallen creatures. We're selfish. We're stubborn. We're proud. We're Americans. I think in some ways that makes us even more proud because we like have that independent spirit. On top of that, many of us are Coloradans, natives, if not transplants. We have that Western spirit of being independent, having that Western spirit of not being told what to do. And yet, here comes Jesus giving us commands to love. We don't take commands lightly sometimes. I think a lot of us, we don't like to hear commands in that sense. When I first started reading the scripture, the idea of commands came to mind. I was thinking of dog training and getting dogs to follow commands. Sit. Stay. Good. Now love one another. You did the sitting part. Really good. The love of one another, that kind of commands isn't what we're doing here. This isn't God treating us like animals. When I think of commands in a deeper sense, I got thinking more along the lines of military training. I know many of you have been in the military. I've never been in it. But anybody who understands the basics of military training is discipline. You are given commands, and they are repeated. You are being trained so that when the time comes, under stress or under crisis, those commands are given and they are followed and there is no questioning. We don't hesitate. That's what that kind of training has done. And in a sense, that's what God is doing to us. God is training us through these commands to respond appropriately when the crisis and when the things in our life pop up. Loving people is hard. It's hard work. It's hard to love your neighbor sitting next to you sometimes. Heck, husbands and wives have a hard time loving each other. Brothers and sisters have a hard time loving each other. Parents and children have a hard time loving each other. But Jesus commands us to love one another. It's not a request. It's a command. And the best way for us to follow through with that command is through constant training, constant discipline. Thankfully, we have a really good instruction manual. It's been given to us, and it's full of instruction on how to love one another. One of my personal favorites comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the first letter in chapter 13. Paul gives us very strict discipline, instruction on how to love. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. In other words, love does not hold a grudge. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Well, those are great words. More words. Talking about love is easy. We can write about love. We can talk about love. It's doing love that's the hard work. But in the same instruction manual, we have examples. I think the most important examples are from what Jesus did. You see, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he didn't already do. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus reached out to those who were disaffected and those who were on the edges of society. Most importantly, Jesus forgave sins. Jesus could forgive even the most heinous of criminals. In fact, Jesus gave his life to forgive our sins. And while being nailed up on that cross, after being tortured and brutalized by his accusers, he says, "Father, forgive them." Jesus was even loving those who were crucifying him. We have a fantastic example reading through the Gospels of how to actively love people. We just have to train ourselves to do it. Again, this is what it means, not just to be a Christian, but to be a godly person. God is love. We read that last week. God is love. In fact, one of the most quoted verses in the, probably the most quoted verse out of all the Bibles, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone may know eternal life and not perish. For God so loved the world. This world? I don't know about you, but I'm in kind of a news junkie. When I turn on the news or I'm listening to the radio, I don't think love much when I'm hearing the news. I see a world full of violence and hate and greed and war and selfishness. And God loved this world? God must have seen something in us that quite often we don't see in each other. It's really hard to love one another when we only see those things. But God must have seen something, because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus here to lead us in the right direction. Love is something that we are commanded to do because God knows we're capable of loving. Every one of us has the capability of being selfish and greedy and hateful and violent. But every one of us also has the ability to be loving and hopeful and kind and patient. But it takes training. This is a command that Christ gave to us, to love one another. And we have to work at it. It takes hard work. This is a divided world. It's a hard world. We're divided by classes, rich and poor, industrialized nations and third world nations. We're divided by borders. We're divided politically. There are divides all over, even in this church right here. But Christ is calling us to love one another, even in our differences. And Christ is calling us to get past those differences to something greater, eternal. Love. Christ loves us by example, because Christ knows that we can love. We are capable of doing that. It takes training. And despite what some people might think in this world, it's never too late to start training. Until we take our last breath on this earth, we can start learning how to love. Even if we've gotten the basic starts, every one of us should spend every moment of the rest of our lives trying to become better at it. And when that person challenges you when you're driving down the highway, or when that person cuts you off in the line at the grocery store, or when that brother or sister or husband or wife says something callous, how are we going to respond? If we train ourselves properly, we will respond with love. If we're not trained, we'll respond like humans. Christ calls us to be more than that. For God so loved the world. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist who, soon after starting his career, was gathered up and taken to Nazi concentration camp when he was in his 20s, him and his wife. They were taken to Auschwitz, and somehow, in years of living in a concentration camp and labor camp, he survived. When he got out of there, being a psychological man, he spent the rest of his life trying to figure out, why do some of us react differently? Why did some people survive and some people not survive in those camps? And what he came up with was a truth. As he suffered on railroad tracks in the freezing cold, a friend of his turned to him and said, imagine what our wives would think if they could see us now. And his mind went to his love for his wife. And it got him through, thinking of having conversations with her, of loving her. And he said at that moment, he found a truth. This truth, he said, that love is the ultimate and highest goal to which man can aspire. The salvation of man is through love and in love. That's easy to get up here and quote and talk about love and sing songs about love. All you need is love. But are we ready to get on with the hard work, the training? We have been commanded by our Lord and Savior to love one another as His Father loved Him and as He loved His disciples. And He is asking us to do nothing more than He Himself did. For God so loved the world. Thank you, God. Amen.